Welcome everyone to Ask the Pastor, and thank you so very much for subscribing to our podcast. Please like and share. Please encourage others to subscribe. Help us to build our audience, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Today, we only have two questions, and so let's jump right into those two questions. The first one is this. This person says, you preached on how Christians need to make war against the flesh. What is one to do if your spouse is not making war against their flesh? Or if we are trying to make war but failing, how do you lovingly encourage another to make war or to rage war? How do you continue to be strong and courageous? Well, first of all, let me just say thank you so very much for this question. And I appreciate the heart and the intent behind it. So yes, we are to make war against our flesh. And as a matter of fact, for anybody who wants to go hear that sermon, I preached a message entitled God of War. And so you can go hear more about that message. I think we can probably put a link on here for you to go check that out, God of War, so you can get that whole context. But this person says, what do you do if your spouse is not making war against their flesh? And so, well, first of all, I would say make sure that you are, and make sure that you're modeling for them what that looks like. But there's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, and let me read this. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. So even if some do not obey the word, they might be won without a word by the conducts of their wives, which they see as respectful and pure conduct. So this passage says, listen, if you've got a husband, if a wife has a husband who's not obeying the word, then she is to model for her husband. Without saying a word, she is to model for her husband through her behavior, through her respectful and pure conduct. She is to model for her husband what obedience to the word looks like. And the Bible says that he may very well be won to the word by her behavior, not by her word, but by her behavior. And I believe that that goes both ways. I think if you're a husband and you have a wife and she's not waging war against her flesh, then I think that you need to model for her in a very godly and a very humble manner what it looks like. Or if you're a wife and your husband's not doing it, then again, obey this question or this passage. And so I think the answer to your question is simply this. You need to, first of all, make sure you're living your life for the glory of God, and then model that for them. Be patient with them. They may not want to hear what you have to say. They may think you're nagging. Well, then do it through your behavior. Mirror for them what you want to see in them, okay? And I believe that will be helpful as well. If you are able to sit down and have a conversation, sit down and talk about it. It may be that your spouse doesn't know what they ought to do. Maybe you can help them. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to disciple yourself, your spouse. So then your last question here is, how do you continue to be strong and courageous? Well, there's only one way to continue to be strong and courageous, and that's to abide in Christ. John chapter 15, John tells us to abide in Christ so that we might bear fruit. We're to abide in him. He is the vine. We are the branches. And so the only way to continue to live for the glory of God, the only way to have a respectful and pure conduct is to abide in Christ. And the way we abide in Christ is by utilizing the means of grace. I study and I meditate and I read the word of God. I pray and I guard my quiet time. I even journal and I write out my prayers. I memorize scripture. And so I do all these things as a means of abiding in Christ. And as I abide in Christ, Christ then in turn bears much fruit through me. So the only way to wage war against the flesh is to abide in Christ. The only way to stay strong and courageous is to abide in Christ. and using the means of grace that God has given to us, like prayer, fasting, scripture memory, and so forth, to help us to abide in Christ. And so if you're trying to make war and you keep failing, as you say here, then just don't give up. Stay in the fight. Keep fighting in the strength of the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God so that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so just don't give up. All right. Second question for today is, how do you encourage another believer who is in the pit of despair, who feels that sometimes people are too far gone to be pulled out and set right, and that consequences can be challenging when they are really bad? One who also reads in Scripture where God hardens people's heart, like Joshua, where God hardened the pagan nations. Does Scripture have any account of God hardening believers' hearts? I don't know about any, but this person wants to know if there is any. Well, first of all, let me just say, again, I appreciate the heart behind and the intent of this question. How do you encourage another believer who is in the pit of despair? Well, there's only one way, and that is to come alongside them, to put an arm around them, to encourage them, to point them, to pray for them, to pray for them, to pray with them, to read Scripture over them. If they're open and willing, then come alongside them and open the Bible up and say, you know, let's read the Scriptures together. Reading the Psalms is very encouraging in times of despair. So reading the Psalms together, praying together, remembering the promises of God. Go through the Bible and, you know, or Google the promises of God in the Bible and make a list of all the promises of God and give this to that person, or share those with the person. You know, be patient with the person. Come alongside the person. Seek to understand the person. Hear the person. Listen to them. Let them speak. And don't try to give an advice. Maybe they just want you to sit and listen, and then pray for them, and perhaps, you know, read Scripture over them. And these will be things that you can do to really help a person who is in despair. I would also, you know, to remind that person that really no one is ever too far gone for God. I mean, God saved the Apostle Paul, who was on his way to kill Christians, and God saved him. And so I would say, don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that someone is too far gone for God to save, because God has time and time again saved people who many thought were too far gone. That's just the kind of business that God is in. He'll go and save someone that the world thinks is too far gone so that he gets the glory for it. And so I would say, keep praying for that person who you think is too far gone. Keep praying for them. Sick the Holy Spirit on them. That's what I often say. And then also you ask the question, are there times in Scripture where God hardens a believer's heart? Well, I can't think of any. You know, there are times when God hardens unbelievers' heart, but there's not a time in Scripture where God hardens a believer's heart. Now, there's times when we can resist God and disobey God and allow our hearts to become calloused, but God never hardens the heart of a believer. Never. And so just realize that truth is that God's will for the believers to mold their heart and to transform their heart into the people that he wants them to be. No one is too far for God. You keep praying, you keep the faith. And if you know someone who is in despair, be patient with them. Listen to them. Let them talk. Hear what they have to say. And then point them to Christ with every opportunity that you can. God bless you. Thank you so very much for your questions today. Until next time.